This is kind of weird. Usually you get a big movie release and it stays at number one for a while and then slowly drops off. But James Bond, hey, he's back on top.
007 reporting for duty.
Where the hell have you been?
Enjoying death.
Well, with lines like that, how can you blame people for going, returning to the theater to see it a few more times? It's fifth weekend at theaters now, and Skyfall makes its way back to the number one spot. But we're all about to be hobbitized pretty soon, ready or not. Let's go live to WTOP's man in L.A., Alan Silverman, with the Hollywood Bites Radio Entertainment News Service. And so Bond made a return, Alan.
Dimitri Bond, James Bond, still has his license to thrill, and now it seems like the older folks are making it over to the multiplex to see for themselves. Usually it's young people who drive a hit, and by young, Hollywood means anyone under 25. It's a very limited demographic there. But as you mentioned, it's after five weekends in theaters, Skyfall is back on top, taking in $10.8 million over this weekend. Get these numbers. It brings its domestic take to more than $261 million. Let's add in $656 million from the international release, now in more than 84 territories. So it should pass the $1 billion mark by the end of the year, or certainly by next month when it opens in China. It is a worldwide vote of confidence, I think, in Daniel Craig's take on Bond, a character that he's booked to play at least in a couple of more movies. And I think it's also a solid nod to Javier Bardem as the latest Bond villain.
I realized that we were dealing with something that it was fun to create, and that also will bring the opportunity to do kind of a little humble homage to the Bond classics with something mixed with the more modern.
The current number one movie worldwide is number two here in North America, the animated Rise of the Guardians, holding its own with the family audience, although I think most of the family audience was out shopping, and that's why the box office figures are much lower this weekend. In fact, have been pretty depressed for the last couple of weeks, but as you mentioned, that's about to change. I think benefiting from all the grown-ups buying tickets, Lincoln held its own in fourth place, just behind Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 in third. There was only one newcomer opening wide this past weekend, and it shouldn't have bothered. Gerard Butler's Hunk and the Soccer Moms relationship comedy Playing for Keeps. Now, I wonder if they'd called it Hunk and the Soccer Moms, it might have done better. It only scored sixth place with a painfully low $5.8 million debut.
So, Alan, I'm going to make fanboys around the world, or whoever happens to be listening, a little angry with my naivete here. Is The Hobbit a prequel to The Lord of the Rings, or is it supposed to take place after? How does that work?
It takes place beforehand. The book, The Hobbit, was actually written and published before The Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's a slim volume. It's barely a children's bedtime story. But Peter Jackson and company have expanded it, so now it's going to be another trilogy. It takes place in Middle-earth. It takes place about 60 years prior to the events in The Lord of the Rings. So we meet some of the characters, and it's the same kind of fantasy world, but realized in a way that the technology that's available now makes remarkable. The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, will open in more than 4,000 theaters nationwide. It stars Martin Freeman as Bilbo Baggins. If you know the British version of The Office, he's the star of that TV show, as well as the Sherlock Holmes show. He plays Dr. Watson in that. And the adventure does predate Lord of the Rings, but Sir Ian McKellen is on board as the wizard Gandalf. And performance capture maestro Andy Serkis returns as the seriously disturbed Gollum.
You know, he's 540 years old in this version, not 600, so he's much hotter. And we'll have a huge fan base with the teenage girl. No, sorry.
I don't think so. But what he and the visual effects wizards do with Gollum version 2 is truly remarkable. And there's another technical achievement I think worth checking out. Director Peter Jackson shot the film at double the standard frame rate, 48 frames per second, instead of the traditional 24 that has been the standard for about 90 years now. It gives the film amazingly realistic detail.
To me, fantasy should be as real as possible. I don't sort of buy into the notion that because it's fantastical, it should be unrealistic. because I think, you know, you have to have a sense of believing the world that you're going into, and the levels of detail in that are very important.
And if you don't mind paying the 3D premium, you can find it in the, and you can find it in the 48 frame version. I think you will be amazed by that level of detail. For once, wearing those 3D glasses seems to be worth it, and paying that premium. But it is, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, if you loved that trilogy, you will really love going on this adventure. It's quite a fantasy. It lasts about 3 hours, so make sure you don't get the extra large drink, or you make a bathroom stop before the film starts. But it's clear it's going to have a monster weekend and really kick off the holiday movie season.
All right, and you'll be back with us in 1 week to comb through those numbers again, talk about what's coming up the following weekend. Alan, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Dimitri.